Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and it is Monday night, so we are talking about practical Christianity. Does what you believe work? If you'd like to call in, the call-in number is 718-664-6988, and the chat room is open. If you've got a question or comment that you'd like to leave there, we may get to it, we may not. If it's brief and something we can address on air, we'll try to get to it. If you do want to have a discussion, though, please go ahead and call in. So you can also get in touch with me just by emailing me if you have something you'd like to have discussed, or if you want to make an arrangement to get in touch with me just for you know, email conversation. So again, it's Monday night, so we're talking about practical Christianity. We've been talking about the whole concept of time. Now, we've also been posting quite a bit on our blog in regards to some issues regarding leadership and putting some of the things we've been learning into application. So if you're not already familiar with the blog, when you get a chance, check it out. It's at wecanprepare.org. You can get to it a lot of different ways, but that's probably the easiest to remember. So it's wecanprepare, all one word, .org. And we'll probably be starting to put out some what's called open posts, so that if you have a question or a comment or even feedback that doesn't fit into something else, you can just go ahead and leave it in the comment box there. In other words, there won't be a real topic. Or if there is a topic, you're still free to post off topic. And I may comment, other people may comment, and especially if there's an issue or a question, together we'll work it out and see if we can come to some helpful conclusions. Again, that's wecanprepare.org. And if you want to call in tonight, the number is 718-664-6988. Just as a reminder, if there's no phone call, if there's no phone number and you've got your call blocked, to unblock that, because if there's no number coming in, we're not going to put you on the air. Okay, we have no way of identifying who you are, and so we're just not going to be able to put you on the air. So just take the block off before you call, and that should be not a problem whatsoever. So we've been talking about time and how time, even though it's a created thing, God created time and therefore has a complete authority over it, the way he relates to us and the boundaries he's placed on us in relationship to him are dependent on what age we are currently in. You and I, because we are living now, have different options available to us than Moses or Abraham or David or any of the Old Testament, Isaiah, Jeremiah, any of the Old Testament characters, because we are in a different age than them. And when we are starting to talk about the distinction, the differences between the Old Covenant and the New Testament, we it's important that we have an understanding, because if we misunderstand or have incorrect beliefs about these two ages, even though there's an overlap, we cannot understand our identity and how we now truly relate to God and how He truly relates to us and through us. So our goal is to depend on God to get those lies clarified. So we want to allow Him to shed light on any area He chooses. And we never need to be afraid of challenging what we believe. God doesn't count that as a lack of faith or that making us vulnerable to deception. If God can't protect us from deception, how do we think that we possibly can in our own strength? Or maybe we think that if we stray from a certain set of guidelines, God is not obligated to keep us from deception. Well, that would be legalistic thinking. That would be that God punishes us for our behavior, or He withholds His blessing because we have failed Him. And that is Old Testament thinking. That's legalistic thinking. Now we're going to get into a timeline. We are going to get into a somewhat brief, but hopefully cover all the basics of where we are now as far as our salvation experience and how we got here. We're going to use really basic terms, so hopefully this will make sense in a very practical way. Now let's just start with Adam and Eve having a relationship with God that was pretty much boundless. When it all started out, there were no restrictions. Now, we've talked before in other series on how there were no boundaries, but there was also no understanding, no appreciation, no gratitude, no knowing of who God is and was to them at that time. Because they had been created at a certain time, God was just the way He was, and He provided for them, and they accepted that provision without question. And because He had always taken care of them and done all the things that we know God did and God does, they basically took Him for granted. And we've talked many times on how one of the ways you can tell that a person gets grace is that they have a sense of gratitude. They are appreciative. That's where one of the ways we arrive at humility, that what we have received, we did not earn. We did not do anything to get this relationship from God, acquire it, or deserve it. But He has bestowed it upon us. And so now it is our part of relationship to be what He has made us. So I don't want to get too far ahead of us. But as far as Adam and Eve were concerned, they had none of that experience because God to them was always exactly one way. The provider, He met all their needs. There was no need to question, to wonder, to know each other. There was no question about receiving from him, because that's all they had ever known, all they were able to do. Now, I think this is one of the areas where there gets to be some of that confusion about the elevation of the will, that because of their free will, they were able to, they made the wrong choice. But it is really, when we look at the situation, their will had nothing to do with it. It was God's decision to put boundaries on their relationship. The big change that came was not at the fall, when Adam and Eve disobeyed the law, the rules. It was when God decided to make the rules. God changed the nature of relationship when he said, "You may not eat of the tree." God changed how he would relate to Adam and Eve. Even though they were both one person, there was still the duality there. So he told them, and God himself changed the rules. And by changing that rule from where Adam could do whatever he wanted, whatever they wanted, and all their needs were met, God changed the rules, and from that moment on, they were put in the situation where the learning process began. And since we know that the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the earth, from the foundation of the world, we know that what God set in motion was exactly what he wanted. There was never any whoops. There was never any, "I've made a mistake and now I need to correct it." Instead, this is all part of his plan. And there's probably many, many explanations and ways to approach this whole question. My approach is just to say that a particular reason God did this was to instill in us, you and I, gratitude, appreciation, the acknowledgement of our lack. Without acknowledging and knowing our own inability to change ourselves, to meet our own needs, we don't need God. We are not able to fully receive from God everything that he is. So without that, without him making those rules, which inevitably would have been broken, I sometimes wonder that if Adam and Eve had been able to resist, as soon as you tell any of us, "Don't do something, we want to do it," I kind of suspect that God would have come up with more rules, which he eventually did anyway. Because his desire was that those rules would be broken, because that was part of the process to bring us to where we are now and eventually to wherever it is we're going. So Adam and Eve broke those rules. And because of that, that set in motion a series of events that affected their relationship with God from generation to generation. And in the process of trying to teach Adam and Eve, and through them, all the different generations of people since them, from age to age, God has placed rules and regulations and expectations on our behavior toward Him. And in general, what He's saying is, if you do thus and so, I will do this and that. If you meet my rules, if you follow my rules, I will be your God. So we can look at that and say, God said that at the fall, when those rules were broken, a debt was incurred. God kept his part of the relationship, but mankind failed. So in order to restore the relationship, mankind has to make up for it. Mankind has to make up for and probably pay interest on their failure. What do we say when we break trust with someone? Let me make it up to you. We recognize that we have to regain their trust. So we go out of our way to not repeat the same mistake and perhaps do more to try to restore that relationship. So God gave mankind different ways of proving their desire to restore that relationship or to pay their debt. Now, unfortunately, all that debt was so big, that destruction of that relationship was so significant that Adam and Eve and mankind would never be able to satisfy that debt. And in terms we can understand, perhaps you have an interest-only mortgage, or have you heard of those? And the way those work is you pay low payments that only pay the interest. They never cut down on the mortgage. So you always owe the same amount. But you're allowed to stay living in that house. Well, under the law, that's pretty much what mankind was doing with God. They were never cutting into that debt that was owed God, because they were falling so short, so far short of his requirements. But they were doing enough to be able to still be called his people. There was still that peripheral relationship with him. Now, that's not what God was satisfied with. Just getting by is not what God is interested in. Remember, he's got a long-term goal to bring us back into relationship as understanding beings, as appreciative, grateful, needy people. So when he sent his son, it was for the purpose of paying off the debt once and for all, and not just the interest. Okay? So all along, say for thousands of years, mankind has been paying on the debt, but he's only been able to pay the interest on the debt. So the size of the debt never changed. Jesus came along. God sent him to pay the debt. Now, in order to do that, he, not only to pay the debt, but to bring us along with him in paying the debt, so we could all pay the debt. He didn't just pay the debt for himself, okay? He paid the debt for all of us. And he did that by taking on, as the Son of God, taking on all of our debts for each one of us, whether we had been born or not, whether we knew what our debt was or not. And by acknowledging them and paying for them on the cross, those debts were paid. But it wasn't until the resurrection that we came through the other side. We came to the understand, we were re-inspirited. It wasn't just that the debt was paid. It's in the resurrection that relationship is restored. So say if Jesus had come and he'd paid the debt and God stamped that debt, paid in full, and that's all he did, we still wouldn't be able to have a relationship with God. So this is why there had to be the resurrection. So just as our debts were paid by Christ on the cross, our life was regained by Christ through the resurrection. So let's look, where are we now? When we talk about our debt being paid, it's not the interest that's paid. The mortgage itself is paid off. There is no more debt. You're no longer living your life on loan, just getting by, living in someone else's house, the bank's house. The house is now yours. God paid for it on your behalf. So that title to the house is now yours. It's got your name on it. You're not paying on it anymore. And now the possibility for our relationship with God, dare I say it, is as equals. Spiritually, he has made you one in him, one with him, one to him. As a son of God, he has brought you into the house that he paid for, that is now your house, your home, your heritage, your responsibility. there's nothing that any of us can do that can undo any of that. It doesn't matter if we don't understand or don't believe who God is or what He's done. Because what He has done, it's not about faith. He's not counting on you to believe it. For us now, the significance is that our relationship with Him is no longer at all regulated by our behavior, by our beliefs, by our trustworthiness, our faith, our place of birth, our age, race, origination. Whether you believe it or not, God did it. Jesus paid the debt. And you are now living in God's house. Your house. Your inheritance. So under the old covenant, our righteousness, or the ability to have relationship with God, was obtained through fulfilling the law, paying the interest. But under the New Testament, our ability to have relationship is based on being in Christ. Grace is receiving unconditionally what God gives unconditionally. This New Testament, like our last will and testaments, went into permanent effect at the death of the testator, who was God, who was mediated by His Son. You can't have two covenants in effect at one time. You can't have two claims on one promise. You can't owe and have it fulfilled. What do we so often do? We go to the bank and we try to make payments on a debt that doesn't exist. This is why we often find ourselves entangled in the demonic, the world system. We find ourselves, this is really where the deception is. When we think that we still need to go to the bank teller's window and meet certain expectations, attend church, tithe, be nice to our neighbors, support our leaders, read our Bible, minister to the poor, witness to the unsaved, be a minister in foreign lands, whatever it is, we think we need to do that in order to pay the interest on the debt. Now, if you were the bank and someone kept on coming in and giving you money and you could take it and get away with it, would you? If you could get away with it, you'd be our enemy, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And that's exactly what's happening. As we have been hoodwinked by our enemies, that there are things that we still need to pay on, even though God is not in the bank anymore. He's in the house. He's in the kingdom. You are in the house too. and we need to stop paying on a debt that's already been paid. So thanks for tuning in. We'll follow up on this next Monday. Have a great weekend, or have a great night. I'll be back with you tomorrow night at 6:30. Thanks for tuning in.